Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Tim with Fred and Ray, and we're joined now by Steve Paisley Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody.
How you doing?
I'm well.
We were talking about President Trump, Steve,
yep.
Being in the Middle East.
Yeah.
But there's also another, there was supposed to be a meeting today.
In Turkey, I believe.
Between, do you know about this?
Yeah, it was between, well, President Trump might have dropped in, but basically it was between Vladimir Putin and Volodymyr Zelensky. This was over the Russia, the Ukraine war, and it was hoped that they were going to be able to bring the two together to talk peace. My understanding, and I haven't looked in the last 10 minutes, but that Vladimir Putin did not show up, and so
it's Thursday, Turkey time.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Right. So, yes, there was supposed to be a meeting between Ukrainian President Zelensky and Russian President Putin to begin a ceasefire and negotiations to end the war.
Right.
Yes.
And I don't know who called this meeting. Does anybody know? Ray, do you know?
I do not
know. I think Erdogan, the Turkish leader,
okay.
offered to kind of host this
okay.
meeting. After the some of the European nations met in Kyiv and basically said, if this doesn't come to an end soon, if Putin doesn't come to the table, then we are going to even greater support Ukrainians by adding more sanctions to Russia.
Okay, so, as I said, it's Thursday afternoon. I don't know how...
Probably
they're 7-8 hours ahead of us there in Turkey. By us here in the U.S., obviously depending on what time zone you're in the U.S. So Zelensky said he would be there.
Yeah.
So
it's just after 7 o'clock in the evening.
Okay. But Putin did not travel with
yep.
the Russian delegation to be there. What do you think about this, Fred? I mean, this was the world was sort of hopeful this would be a start to the end of the war.
Yeah. The report this morning was the Russians were saying that Putin is not feeling well, and that's why he didn't make the trip. Well, I heard a military analyst the other day saying Putin wants to continue this war because he's not getting all the concessions that he wants. One of the concessions that Putin wants is for Zelensky to quit. He wants new leadership in Kyiv. So anyway... Bottom line is that Putin did not show up at this meeting. And as we're reporting earlier in the week, Trump had mentioned that he might go to this meeting if Putin was there. But I understand President Trump this morning said, all right, Putin didn't show. And he said, the only way Putin is going to show up at a meeting is if I, referring to himself, President Trump, actually go to a meeting. So... we will see if that happens.
Well, according to The Guardian, is that a trustworthy, for the most part, do you know? Is that a British?
Fairly liberal, but it's a
valid okay, it's news. Like a British newspaper?
It is.
Uh-huh. I'm reading from that. It says Trump, who is on a visit to Saudi Arabia, appeared to float the idea of a three-way meeting with Putin and Zelensky, saying on Monday, that would have been 3 days ago, right? Quote, this is quoting Trump, I believe the two leaders are going to be there. I was thinking about flying over, end quote. Zelensky said he was hoping Trump would attend the meeting in Turkey and indeed meet him in Turkey. Quote, if this is Zelensky, I'm quoting, if Trump travels, it will push Putin to also travel. Trump can really help if it's a situation where the U.S. being present can give important guarantees, end of quote. So, President Zelensky of Ukraine welcomed President Trump's attending a meeting between he and Putin, but Putin didn't come, and I don't did Trump. Trump's still in.
He did not.
Yeah, he's still right now in the United Arab Emirates, and so it's 8 o'clock at night.
To me, and you guys tell me where I'm wrong. I'm willing to be scolded here on this one. I believe now that the more of people are looking at President Trump now, going, well, what are you going to do? Because if Zelensky says he wants Trump's help, and Trump says himself, the only way Putin is going to get directly involved in this is if I'm a part of the negotiations, then wouldn't that be incumbent then for Ray in the name of, I know I'm putting y'all on the spot with this one, but wouldn't that make it incumbent then on President Trump to get directly involved by going to flying to Moscow?
Well, look, something like that is bound to happen eventually. I think.
You think so?
Yeah, I think President Trump is right. Just flip it over and look at it from Putin's point of view. What advantage is it for him to meet with Zelensky in Turkey with Marco Rubio there? He gains nothing because, as far as I'm concerned, and pains me to say this, but look, the situation with the war in Ukraine, I think Mr. Putin right now has the upper hand. He's holding all the cards. It's in his advantage, I think, to delay this as long as he can. I think it's Zelensky who wants, rightfully, to get to a quicker end of this. So I'm sure Mr. Putin is saying to himself, look, if the president is not going to be there, why should I bother? So I suppose that what you said is exactly right. I don't know if we're going to see Trump going to Moscow. Anything's possible, but he's probably right. It's going to take a Trump-Putin sit-down to bring an end to this war.
Fred?
Yeah, I agree with that. Probably it will not be in Moscow. It probably would be in Turkey because Erdogan has already offered that as a venue for peace talks. But Trump said it this morning. He doesn't think that Putin is going to move until he has a direct meeting with Putin himself. So it would not surprise me if in the fairly near future that's going to happen.
Yeah, I agree. I think Donald Trump, it is in his interest, it's in his legacy's interest to go, because I think he does have a shot at ending or putting a ceasefire in place. Russia has a lot more resources, just geographically, in terms of human resources. They can throw a lot more people at Ukraine than Ukraine can throw.
Yeah,
it
but
up
we've been hearing defense. That for 3 years.
And well, still, here's the other going. Thing. Here's the other thing, though. There's something that Putin can only wait this out so long because the United States does have a security agreement with Ukraine. And while it's not on paper, we have made a deal with Ukraine for rare earth minerals. This means that we have a strategic interest in defending Ukraine. And that is something that is going to stay. That's not going to go away. Putin can't outwait that. So
yeah, he can.
Well,
he just ignores it.
Well, he ignores it, but he can't encroach on the area that we can't take. If he takes the area of Ukraine that has the rare earth minerals, he's actually in essence declaring war on the U.S.
Yeah,
it's a very strategic purchase because we're getting rare earth minerals.
Okay, that
from China
gets us
now.
Involved in a hot war.
I don't think he wants that.
What you've just described. Okay, well, the way I view that is that first of all, this rare minerals, what do you call them?
Rare earth minerals.
We don't know the details of that, right? And does that involve sending U.S. troops to Ukraine to defend it?
There's no commitment on that front.
Yeah.
Well, then you can't defend your raw minerals that you're going to get out of the ground if you don't have a military to defend it. Huh?
Yeah.
What do you defend it with?
The question is, would
please don't come?
Well, would he send people in to defend it? This is it's a very important agreement because it takes rare earth minerals are the key to making technology.
All right. Yeah.
And right now the U.S. is dependent on China for that technology, and that's you can't.
Well, I see what you're saying. I just don't think that matters to Putin.
You may
whether,
be right.
Whether we have a deal with the Ukraine or not, he is. Okay, I just think right now all the world is looking at Trump saying, well, are you going to meet with Putin to start the end of this war or not?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so I think
right.
the president has gotten directly involved in this, and now sort of now the pressure is on him
yes.
to deliver some sort of start of the peace negotiations. And I think Zelensky is saying as much, too.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying Trump involved is what we need. And so we'll see. We'll see what happens here.
I think you're exactly right. I think Putin also knows, given what happened at the White House back there a couple of months ago between Trump and Zelensky, which was very public when that thing blew up, that Putin probably was laughing at that and saying, you know, I've got Zelensky up against the ropes. Putin or Trump comes in, and he acts as a mediator to get probably more of a deal that Putin wants than what Zelensky wants. I think Zelensky is going to have to go.
Out? Like out as the president of the yes. country?
Yes.
Well, he's offered to go if they can get a peace agreement.
That's right. He has.
So we'll see what happens there. One thing I would note, Russia has been using North Korean soldiers, if you can believe that. North Korean soldiers, I don't know how many of them, thousands of them,
mm-hmm.
to be their, what do you call those mercenaries, Ray?
What do you call, you
rent a soldier.
Cannon fodder might be a better. Cannon fodder might be a better
term. Yeah, that might be a better term. There's no reason for North Korean soldiers to be fighting
right.
in the
or Russia
in Ukraine.
Against the Ukraine.
Right, zero reason.
But Russia has a close relationship with the dictator of, you know, the Kim Jong-un guy, the nutty guy up there, and who's always launching rockets out into the ocean.
Rocket Man.
Threatening the world.
Rocket Man.
Yeah, I remember reading a story about those poor North Korean soldiers
mm-hmm.
who don't have a choice in the matter, and they get shipped to Ukraine, the Ukrainian-Russian war, and they were saying that they don't even know how to fight.
No, they have no experience.
All they do is march in military parades and that kind of thing. They have no,
yeah.
and they are just fodder for the Ukrainian weaponry. All right, you will see what happens there, but, you know, everybody hopes and wishes that this war would end because there's just so much pain and suffering by the people, especially in the Ukraine. The Russian people, too, lots of them have lost family members in the war,
mm-hmm.
but Ukrainian people have just been decimated. All right, you're listening to, in terms of their country. All right, Steve, next
story. Thank you. I came across some sound here from Tennessee Congressman Mark Green. He is the chairman of the Committee on Homeland Security, and they were having a hearing. And, of course, the Democrats are saying due process. You can't deport anybody without due process. Well, Congressman Green, the chairman of this committee, had something to say about that, and then he went off on Democrats. Listen to Cut 13.
I want to make a clarification here because there's been so many incredibly false and misleading things said today. Once a deportation order has been issued, the due process is over. But the judge issues an order, and there's well over a million people in this situation that are being deported appropriately. You know, I've said this before, the left has this incredible heart for the criminal. They defend the criminal, a full-throated defense of criminals over the safety of Americans and the following of the rule of law. The American people recognize who the good guy really is. And it ain't Trendyagwa or a guy who was driving eight women, young women, through my state, and the Biden administration said, do not detain him. As I've said before, the left doesn't know a good guy from a bad guy. They street violent criminals and they want to defund ICE. That's been their mantra since I've been in this position. It's ridiculous. It's heinous.
There you go.
Well, And all God's people said,
amen.
That's right. Amen.
He said it. So who was that?
It's Mark Green. Dr. Mark Green, actually.
Well, I asked the question yesterday with a lot of these liberals having to do with the Trump deporting these criminals, and they're defending the criminals. And I'm going, whose side are you on?
Yeah.
Huh?
Do they actually, the Democrats actually believe this is a winning election issue?
I know. Like taking the side of boys who want to dunk on girls in basketball and saying, hey, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
If he calls himself a girl, then he ought to be able to dunk on the girls.
Hey, if you're a Republican, I guess you say to the Democrats, you just keep doing what you're doing.
One of the things that I cut out of that clip was he said, if I was a pure politician, I would say keep going because it cost you the last election and it's cost you the next one.
Yeah.
Well, wokeness is like a mental disorder. It really has to be.
Huh? It has to be.
It's just like. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Next story, Steve.
Did you guys get to the RFK hearing?
No, we didn't.
Well, let's talk about that.
All right, let's
another hearing on Capitol Hill yesterday, and this one was Robert Kennedy Jr. He was sitting in front of committee talking about his Make America Healthy Again. And he had it out with a couple of the members of Congress there. This is one he's talking about to Patty Murray, who's the senator from Washington, who brought up one of her constituents that she says, her name is Natalie, and she says that Robert Kennedy's indiscriminate firing of people at NIH has put her health at risk. He wasn't having much of it. This is cut 7.
Mr. Secretary, one of my constituents, her name's Natalie Phelps, she has been fighting aggressive stage 4 colorectal cancer for nearly 5 years now. Her best hope now is a clinical trial she's participating in at the NIH Clinical Center. But because of the thoughtless mass firing of thousands of critical employees across NIH and HHS that you carried out, Natalie's doctors at that clinical center have told her they have no choice but to delay her treatment by an additional 4 weeks.
If you contact my office tomorrow, I'll look specifically into that.
Well, that is not acceptable.
Wouldn't you rather get her into that clinical trial as fast as you can?
Absolutely.
So, Claudia, if you contact my office tomorrow,
you are here to defend your budget.
Well, you asked me about a specific case that I want to help with. Correct. Do you want me to answer it?
I want to tell you, you need to know this. You're here to defend the NIH budget, which
is... Senator, do you want me to answer your question?
Well, I want
to... You want me to answer your question, Senator?
I want to tell you that Natalie is sitting there waiting for treatment.
And I'm offering to help her, but you don't care.
Mr. Secretary, you don't care about Natalie.
I've offered to help Natalie.
You don't care about Natalie, Ray. That was pretty much a beatdown.
You talk about a boy. That's a knockdown, slapdown. You don't hear a senator have to back down like that. But true, she was using Natalie's case, which is awful, Steve. And it's a sad situation. But clearly, the secretary, Mr. Kennedy, is willing to get in there and help. The senator didn't want to hear any part of that.
There's an update to this story. Despite that confrontation that you just heard, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s office went and checked on Natalie in particular. The truth of the matter is she does not qualify for this testing that's being done because, sadly, her stage of cancer is beyond the limit that this particular research is looking at. And so he came back with that. So he's exactly right. The senator was trying to make a political point at the expense of her constituent. And that's really sad. And the Democrats are doing this over and over again. They're out there saying, you know, you're going to lose Medicaid and people are going to lose their health care, all of these sorts of things. You got to go back. What the Trump administration is looking at is fraud. They're looking at money that should not be spent. They want to put qualifications, for instance, on Medicaid, that you have to be out there trying to look for work, and you need to be able to prove that. to people that you're out there looking for work. Otherwise, that you're going to be taken off that free medical care.
Are y'all talking about, have you ever talked about Governor Newsom?
No, not yet.
Okay, related, you know what I'm talking about?
He has decided that he is no longer wanting to offer health care to illegal immigrants in his state. Oh, and it's Trump's fault.
Yeah. This is going to take effect, I think, the beginning of the new calendar year. I think that's right. State of California, Governor Gavin Newsom announced he's a flaming liberal, trying to masquerade now as a centrist. You got the story right there, Fred?
Yeah.
Read from it.
Well, his program to give Medicaid to people who are in this country illegally is $2.7 billion in the hole. So he is saying, we need to stop doing this. And starting at a particular date, he's going to start charging individuals, I think, $100 monthly premium.
Oh, well, yeah, but isn't he just going to outright stop it? For any new people?
For new people, yeah. Yes. That's happening.
So
there he is.
What a bigot. Right? I mean, you talk about a xenophobe. Right. This is a heartless politician who doesn't care about the health care of people.
Does anybody believe he's sincere at all?
No. He wants to run for president. Here's the other thing he announced this week. He wants communities across California to get rid of those homeless camps.
Yeah.
He says, we need a clean up.
Where have you been for 10 years?
Exactly.
He has not seen the light. He's seen the White House.
Well, you know, with respect to the state, okay, so California, not all the people, there are a lot of good people in California, but these politicians who are very secular, they're very progressive, they're very prideful of their, you know, DEI and all this stuff. The financial realities are now hitting them. You can't have millions of people come into your state from other countries illegally and then pay for all their health care.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work that way. It's unsustainable. And that's what Gavin Newsom is saying right now. As of like the end of the year, I think no more new people can join this if you're not a U.S. citizen.
Starting next year.
Starting next year. That's a financial reality. So that's what he's really making an argument on a smaller scale of what President Trump has been making for several years now.
Right.
And that is,
right.
We can't afford to let the world in to our country and pay for everything. So
I'm really glad that Gavin Newsom has finally, quote, seen the light.
Yes.
There's a headline in the Babylon Bee right now. Gavin eyeing 2028 presidential bid. Gavin Newsom distances himself from Gavin Newsom.
That's funny.
That's about it.
That's funny. All right. Fred, we got about a minute to go. Why don't you tell our listeners about our news service?
All right. American Family News. I've been around for almost three decades now. And we have a great team here. Steve is part of the team. Chris is part of the team. And we're here to bring you the news of the day from a Christian perspective. Tell you everything that's going on. We have a great website, afn.net. And if you'd like a daily summary of the news into your email box, you can do that too. Go to afn.net. Up in the right-hand corner, just fill in your email address, and we'll send you one email a day, Monday through Friday, with the latest summary of the news.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Brad, thank you.
You bet.
Ray, appreciate it.
You bet.
Thank you. Thanks to Chris Woodward and Jeff Shreve and Brent Creeley, our producer. And we hope you have a wonderful Thursday, and we'll see you back here tomorrow for Trivia Friday.